You are listening to the official podcast of the Mission Redlands. We are a growing community living out God's radical love.
Man, I said, Jason, you gave me Acts 2. Did you know what that is, right? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, that means I'm going to bring some fire. And he's like, let's go. So I'm excited about preaching. I'm just going to read. I don't really have any intro other than, oh, I know what I was going to say. The Lord can work through people who are humble. He likes it when we're humble. He does not do well with pride, those of us who've got it figured out. So I am like, I don't want to say I'm a baby Christian because that would be a lie. But there's some areas of my life that I'm still like an infant. And when I find somebody that's ahead of me in that space, you know, you can tell when somebody's ahead of you in a space, I go and I literally like sit at their feet and just soak in everything I can. So in a lot of areas of my life, I'm still an infant. In some areas, I've got some more mastery, you know? So I want to say that to say there's a decent chance this morning I will offend you at some point. I'm not trying to. I got a lot of fire right now, and I need to learn to how to contain it, but I'm still learning in that process. So one of the worst things we can do is take offense as Christians and then live like all offended. That will quench the Holy Spirit in your life, in your heart like that. Unforgiveness, unresolved stuff. You will just dry up like, whoosh. Because the Lord can't be in and so this week even he was doing a work in my life of uprooting some stuff that I didn't know was there. Like I spent a night in the mountains this week, and when I got there, the guy was like, I was telling him what was going on. He goes, that sounds like unforgiveness. And I was like, no. I've forgiven stuff. And he's like, I'm not so sure. So I was like, oh, shoot, back to square one, right? So I'm just saying that as an encouragement to, like, you might get offended this morning. Maybe wonder about why you're offended and go, like, do I have some built-up pride that maybe needs breaking down? Or what's going on with that offense? Why am I offended? Why am I taking it? Okay, so I love you. First of all, I love you. I love your congregation. I love your pastor. I love this city, and I really want to be a part of continuing to build the kingdom here with you all. So it's an honor for me to be here. Acts 2, let's go. Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. This is such a cool story. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they had too much wine. All right, Acts 2, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You got that cool picture up there, James, or not? No pictures? Okay, no worries, man. So Acts 2, Jesus was resurrected, died, buried, resurrected, comes back with the boys and girls, and hangs for 40 days. The end of 40 days, what happens to him? He ascends into heaven. Now, check yourself a minute and be like, do I actually believe this whole thing still? Because there are times where I'm like, is that really what I think? Do I really believe that? This is what the word of the Lord says. He ascends into heaven, but before he goes, he says in Acts 1, verse 4, don't leave Jerusalem. They're all gathered. Remember, they'd gathered for Passover. Don't leave here. 1 verse 4, but wait for the gift my father promised, which you heard me speak about. And you mentioned this last week too. Last week, Jason also mentioned that this is in Acts 1 verse 8, church. Acts 1 verse 8, just to remind you what it says there, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So don't go until you get the goods. Don't go until you get the power from on high. Because otherwise you'd just be making a mess out there, working out of your own flesh. Now, there's a whole bunch of scriptures that I just want to quick reference here. I don't even know if I wrote them down. Joel 2, let's go to Ezekiel 36. If you got your scripture, do you guys have Bibles here? Okay, actually, let's go Isaiah 44 first. Isaiah 44, since I'm in Isaiah. Isaiah 44, verse 3. There are all these prophecies in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, about how God is going to pour out his Spirit. Okay, in the last days, he will pour out his Spirit on mankind. Before that, it was only on special occasions that God had poured out his Spirit. On the prophets, on Elijah, on Moses, God had poured himself out. But he said, in those days, I'm giving myself away to everybody. Isaiah 44, 3. I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. Okay, so that's the prophet Isaiah a couple hundred years before Jesus saying, this is coming. There's coming a day when God is going to pour himself out on everybody, anybody who wants it, he's going to pour himself out. Okay, Ezekiel 36, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. I was forgetting where Ezekiel is. Ezekiel 36, verse 24. I would underline this if you have your Bible. Just listen to this. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Okay, Jeremiah is another one, Jeremiah 31. The Lord says, I will put my covenant in your heart. I will write it in your heart. So now move with me to Exodus 19. I want to just show you something. Okay, I know we're doing a lot of skipping. Is this okay? Okay, check this out. Exodus 19. Anybody remember? We just read the story of Pentecost. By the way, Pentecost is coming in, I think we celebrate it May 19 in the church calendar. But Pentecost happens how many days after Jesus, after Good Friday, after he gets buried? How many days? 50 days. Okay, so 50 days after Good Friday, we have Pentecost. What Good Friday is right after what Jewish festival? Passover. So I want to make a comparison between the Christian calendar and Jewish calendar. So we have Passover, and then where we celebrate Good Friday, the Lord's death and crucifixion. In the Hebrew, in the Jewish story, we have Passover, and then 50 days later, anybody know what there is? There's another festival. I'm not trying to flex on you because I didn't know this till like I was doing all my study. What is it? Yeah, there's Shabbat is a Sabbath. It's called the Festival of Weeks, Feast of Weeks. Okay? That was where Israel celebrated God giving them the law at Mount Sinai. You tracking? So Passover is where we also say Jesus' death. And then the Jewish calendar is at Pentecost is where they celebrate receiving the law. Anybody remember what mountain they did that at? Mount Sinai. So here's Moses at Mount Sinai, Exodus 19. Here's what's going on at Mount Sinai. God says to them, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, listen to this. This is the whole point. You will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. So God tells Moses, if you guys come, I'm going to speak to you. And then in the next section, he gives them the law. Okay, Exodus 20 is the law. And now some of the saddest verses in the Bible, I think. He says to the people, you guys are going to be my priests. All right, just come up to the mountain. You're going to hear me. And I'm gonna equip you. Listen to what happens. When the people saw the thunder and lightning, so they saw the power of God. They saw the Creator God. They saw the one who's you know in charge of the multiverse. Multiverses. By the way, pet peeve of mine. I have some friends that have started talking about the universe. Like, well, the universe led me to this. I'm like, dude, the universe is a created thing by a creator. Why are you trying to pray to or take direction from a created thing? Go to the source. That's our story. Is like we go right to the source of everything. The one who was like there when it all banged and went kaboom. And he was like, yeah, I did that. You go right to him, right? You know what I'm saying? Okay, so they're thunder and lightning. They heard a trumpet on this mountain where Moses is going to get the commandments, and he wants to take them with. And when they saw that, they trembled with fear. They were like, whoa, he's for real. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we'll listen, but don't have God speak to us or we'll die. You go, Moses, because like I'm not ready for that. Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. Just come as you are. Just come as you are to the Lord. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. So he's coming. You're going to recognize who he is and the reverence and awe and wonder that you're going to have for him is going to actually be a safety for you. You see what I'm saying? Here's the saddest verses to me, some of them in the Bible and what we have today. The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. I think that's some of the sad. Our PowerPoint's not working at all, huh, James? That's awesome. I love it. Everything's going down. That's so good. That's so cool. Exodus 19. This is Exodus 20, verse 21. Underline it in your Bible. I think it's some of the saddest verses in the Bible. Because what did God want? A kingdom of? I'll try it again. What did God want? A kingdom of? Did he want one guy? Never his design. Never was his design to have a one-man show. How many of you know we're in that day again today? He's breaking down the day of the one-man show. This his people, the ecclesia, never was meant to be a one-man show. It was supposed to be a kingdom of priests. Okay? It was supposed to be a kingdom of priests. Everybody was supposed to be serving the Lord. It wasn't just supposed to be Moses. Moses was just the one that dared to go meet with God. The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. So now we go to Acts. Now we understand Acts in the light of this event because it's the same thing. Now the law, instead of being given at Sinai, God is saying, now I'm pouring it out into your heart. Now I'm giving it right to you. Now you're going to hear from me. Now your sons and daughters, your old men and young men, all of them will be able to prophesy. All of them will have dreams and visions. All of them will walk with me like Adam did in the garden. They'll have access to me in that way. It's not supposed to be a one-man or a one-woman show. Are you with me? And so Jesus says, you guys go wait. By the way, quick math. 50 days from his crucifixion, Pentecost, he's there for how many again? So how many days are the waiting? 9, 10 days? I don't know. More than a week. What are they doing? What does a waiting look like? I don't know. It doesn't say. So I'm imagining, like, what we're doing right now. They're worshiping. They're eating. They're encouraging one another. They're praying for each other. They're talking about what do you think's coming? I don't know. What do you think's going to happen when the Holy Spirit gets here? I don't know. They're praying throughout the day. God, come. God, we believe. Help our unbelief. Lord, we don't even really know what to expect, but we know you're good. We know we can trust you, Jesus. We know that the curtain tore, right? They didn't even have much of the theology that we have now, but we know that day when you died, the curtain ripped open. Something's going on. Now, what happens? There's a blowing of a violent wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Now, real quick, I was listening to a thing this year. It just popped up on my YouTube this week, while I was doing dishes, and it was a guy named John Bevere. Does anybody know who John Bevere is? He was talking about an experience he had in 1996. He was the speaker at a conference in Brazil, and it was a Friday night, and he got up to speak, and he said everybody in the room was just, like, talking and, like, playing and screwing around and eating, and nobody was paying attention to the guy that introduced him. And so he asked the Lord, and he said he didn't experience God's presence at all. He goes, I couldn't feel the manifest presence of God in that space at all. And so I asked the Lord, where are you? And he said, the Lord said to him, if you and I were hanging out at a table and I was just busy doing everything else and giving you no attention, would you show up and be present for me? And he was struck. Here, nobody's really attentive to the presence or, attentive to God. Nobody has any expectation of God being there. There's no fear of the Lord. So he gets up to this thing, and he doesn't talk for the first minute. It's just dead silence. And all of a sudden, there's like a hush in the crowd. And he begins to teach about the fear of the Lord and what it means to tremble at his presence and what it means to come before him, the one whose thunder and lightning and smoke and the same one that the Israelites were afraid to walk into the cloud. And what happens, he says, was wild because people began to just sort of hush and recognize the need to draw close to a God who's awesome and who's filled with wonder. And they were humbled. And all of a sudden in the space, there is the rushing of a wind. He says, for 90 seconds, there was a powerful wind that blew through this building. There was nothing on. There was no fans on. It was nothing like that. It was a violent wind that came through this place. He said everybody afterwards was just in awe. They were shocked. 20 years later, he went back to Brazil, and his driver said, I was there that night. There's not a day that goes by that I don't think about that encounter. That's what's going on here. Your God can manifest his presence in a space, in a heart, in a dream. We were talking about it beforehand, how much the Lord has been revealing himself in dreams because people aren't listening the rest of the time. So he's like, I'm coming in your dream. I need a tissue, by the way. Somebody got a tissue? Anyhow, so that's that's where we are in Acts 2, same situation, right? But there's these tongues of fire. This has tripped me out. So I'm like, why tongues of fire? Thank you. You're awesome. Why tongues of fire? Did anybody know that? I didn't know. I was like, why tongues of fire? That didn't make any sense. I couldn't remember any stories of the tongues of fire. I'll just tell you, because the high priests used to wear a breastplate of righteousness, okay? It was like a bronze plate, and it had all the tribes of Israel. And when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, he would be wearing this. And he would take two rocks underneath that breastplate. I think it was called like the, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, Umen and Thummim, something like that. Does that make sense, Jeff? Yeah. So those rocks were basically dice. I didn't know this. So he'd go in and he would inquire of the Lord, and then he would use those two rocks, okay? Those rocks, when he came out, they would say it was like they were on fire. And he would speak the word of the Lord, because they were in his heart. He would speak the word of the Lord, and it was said that the high priest was like carrying a tongue of fire. So in that first century, it was well known in like the rabbinic tradition that the tongues of fire had to do with the high priest's words. Are you with me? And now the Lord says, it's not just one guy going into the Holy of Holies. Now all of you are going to carry the presence. All of you are going to be my mouthpieces. All of you are going to testify to my wonder. All of you are going to testify to my might. All of you are going to testify to the signs and wonders, the things I've done for you and your people and my people before. All of you are going to be my witnesses. That is dope. When I heard that, I was like, that's cool, man. The high priest used to carry this little fire in his heart and come out and proclaim the word of the Lord. David inquired of the priest. Saul inquired of the priest. There's other stories throughout the Old Testament where they would go to the priest and he would come out and declare what the word of the Lord was. And now, it was just going to happen with everybody who called on the name of the Lord. Come on. That's where we are. I'm just quick looking at my slideshow that doesn't exist. I know that it's hard for me to believe this sometimes, okay? Like, I don't want you to think I walk around all day, every day, like 100% dialed into this reality. I want to. There's times where I'm like, Lord, really? I don't know. Why would you draw near to me? James 4 says this. Draw near, 4 verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. There's a little bit of passivity sometimes in our Christianity where we're just like waiting for the Holy Spirit to do something. And he's like, no, I gave you a step to take, but you haven't done it yet. I asked you to let that thing go. I asked you to say yes to this. I asked you to go this direction. So why would I give you more if you haven't done the last one? You ever been in a relationship where you're waiting for some sort of reconciliation? You're waiting for something? And it's like, I can't give you this until we work through this. Right? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? There's a story of the Lord says to Israel, go take the land of Canaan. You remember what the barrier was that they had to cross first? The Jordan River, before they got in. Do you remember how it was that the river stopped? It didn't stop, and then they walked through. Do you remember how it stopped? They went in. And there's a midrash, which is a teaching that says the water actually didn't stop. I just heard this like a couple weeks ago. Till they were up to their chin. And then the water stopped. They said, Lord, I trust you till I drown. You said it's ours. We're going. That's dope. Come on. I heard that. I was like, oh, man, I got to share that. Keep going. Sorry, keep going in the story. See, this is what happens. I get worked up, and then I forget where I am. So verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The other tongues there, there's multiple types of tongues mentioned in the Bible, multiple types of speaking in tongues. This one actually means they were speaking other languages, so they were speaking other dialects. Has anybody in this room ever been in a space where that's been the case, where somebody has spoken in tongues empowered by the Spirit, and it was a different language that somebody else knew? Okay. All right. So I want you to know that, like, I've been around a lot of people that have been in spaces internationally where this is a thing. Okay, I grew up in West Michigan. It was not a thing where I grew up. I didn't see it, so it felt very, very foreign. But I want you to know there's a lot of Christians all around the world where this is coming. I just was talking to somebody last week. We have a Monday prayer group that meets every Monday at noon, if you're interested, and we pray for our region. And we meet in different places in our city. And we were up at Green Spot Bridge this past week, right by that dam, praying that the Lord would just unleash his presence, break the dam over this city, and like a rushing river would come flowing through. And one of the guys told the story of praying in a group, and another guy said to him, "How did you learn Hebrew?" And he was a plumbing contractor. And he goes, "I don't know Hebrew." And he said, "You're speaking perfect Hebrew right now." And he said, "Well, what am I saying?" And he said, you're saying, "Lord, I put this petition before you, dot, 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 dot. Lord, I bring this petition before you, dot, 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 dot." Right? So the other guy heard him bringing his petitions before the Lord in his language perfectly. That's the kind of tongues we're talking about here. People are speaking languages that they don't know. Okay? And verse 5, there were also staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language?" And then they list all these languages: Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. There was an idea that there were, at that time, 70 nations. So that was sort of the extent of what people understood the world to be, 70 nations. And I think what Luke is trying to say here is, like, listen, like, everybody was there, and everybody was hearing from God in their own language. So there's a few things that this, like, harkens back to. Remember the Tower of Babel? Do you say Babel or Babel? Okay. I say tomato. Tower of Babel. Real fast, I know there's a lot of hopping back with the Old Testament here, but Tower of Babel is this crazy scene where people are gathering, Genesis 11, if you got your Bible, and do you remember what they're gathering for, what they're trying to do? It's not a trick question. Trying to build a tower to heaven. What was the first command that God gave man and woman? Genesis 1:28. It's called the cultural mandate. Listen, guys, God says, "I want you to fill the earth and subdue it. You're going to be its caretakers. It's going to be under your management. My plan is to put you in charge of earth. Manage it well. Beautify it." Okay? You with me? You remember that, Genesis 1? "Go out into all the earth," he says. "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth," he says. "Fill the earth and subdue it." A few chapters after the first one, what are people doing? Disobeying God. They're not going out. They come up with their own plan. Here's what it says, 11 verse 3. They said to each other, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. And then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." They go directly against what God had spoken. And so what does he do? Confuses their language, and we get this, again, beautiful diversity, which was the original commandment of God. He wanted diversity. He loves diversity. He's a God of diversity. That's why he created a really diverse universe. No planet is like another. Nothing, no plant on earth. I mean, I was just taking a walk last night with my wife up through the Crafton Hills, and we're just hearing all these cool birds. We have, like, anybody have the bird app? Merlin, it's called, bird app. It's really cool. You just like go like this, Merlin. I would encourage you to download it. I think it's free. And then you can hear what kind of bird it is. Yesterday I heard a California thrasher. I thought that was like a heavy metal thing, Jason. I thought you were a California thrasher. But no, it's a bird. And it's a really beautiful bird. But diversity was the Lord's intention. And so in Acts, it's a restoration of that which was broken. Notice, Genesis 11, the people are doing whatever the heck they want. God told us to scatter, we're going to gather. Okay. Acts, Jesus gives them a command, go sit and wait. This time they do it. So it's a fulfillment of that which happened in Genesis as well. Isn't that so cool? I love the Bible. It's like so woven in. It's not one story. It's like all these stories in this awesome amalgamation of all these, you know, this collective wisdom. And so in obedience, these people are yielded to the Lord. Come on. What are we yielding to? What is the mission yielding to? I'm here to tell you, the church in the West needs to change. We need to change in a number of ways. We need to change. And it's a time over and over the thing the Lord is saying of new wine. He's pouring out some new wine. He's doing a fresh thing. But it will not come if we yield to the wisdom of man. These were not that smart of people, right? I mean, he intentionally chose the uneducated so he could shame the educated. Paul said he chooses the foolish things to shame the wise. Oh, you think you're so smart. Okay, we'll see. Bam. A bunch of common people. Baby, I love you. A bunch of common people get the Holy Spirit, and the wind of God blows through. Why? Because they're yielded to what the Lord said. They're yielded to the Lord Jesus. Are you feeling it? Are you tracking with me? I like this quote by Francis Chan. He said, I want to live so that I'm truly submitted. Oh, where did it go? Oh, there it is. Truly submitted to the Spirit's leading on a daily basis. Christ said it's better for us the Spirit came, and I want to live like that is true. How many of you know that Jesus said that? Hey, guys, I'm going to go. I'm going to go so you get the better thing. You're going to get the Holy Spirit. He said, I don't want to keep crawling, Francis Chan, when I have the ability to fly. I don't want to keep crawling in my faith when I have the ability to fly. They heard the sound. The crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard it in their own tongue. So what are we yielded to? What are you yielded to? The ecclesia that Jason was talking about last week are people who make disciples. They're people who make disciples of fire. Ones whose faith is burning. Tongues of fire are burning. John said, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming who will baptize you with the fire. I think that's really cool. Just a real couple quick things here. Each one heard it in his own language, 2 verse 6. And then 2 verse 7 says they each declared the wonders of God in their own language. They heard it in their own language, and then they declared it in their own language. To me, this means two things. One, God has a unique way of speaking to different people, and he will communicate with you in the language that you need to hear in. For a season of my life, I was almost exclusively hearing the Lord in dreams because I was having a hard time trusting people. He's like, okay, I will bypass the people. Now we're going to do dreams. And I would have dreams where he would reveal things to me about other people, about myself, about the world, about his church, for a season that was almost exclusively. Then he's like, okay, we're doing something a little bit different. Now I'm going to bring you people, and they're going to speak into your life. And then people would begin to be, I would pray and seek the Lord and ask, and then people would come into my life and give me something and give me a word. I feel like you, boom, 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 boom. It's like, how did you know that? Who are you? Hey, I'm thinking of you, and the Lord gave me this 45 minutes after I'm praying to him about something. He will speak to you in a language that you understand. So that, 2 verse 11, you can declare his wonders in your own language. Had you prepared that little riff you were doing afterwards here, or was that impromptu? Impromptu, spontaneous worship sesh. Did you guys know that? I wasn't sure, but all of a sudden I was like, oh, I think this is like, God is doing something right here. I cannot do that. I don't know if maybe some of you can do that. I cannot do what my brother Jason can do. But in his own language, he can declare the wonders of God. He can anticipate what God might do. Are you with me? You hear what I'm saying? He wants to heal, restore, bless you. He wants that more than you do. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. He wants to bless you. Why? Because he wants his name to cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. That's what it says in Habakkuk 2, verse 4. Jeff, I'm looking at you. Somebody check me on it, but it's Habakkuk something. That the Lord wants his name to go out. And so, Jesus says, if you, though you're not that great of a dad, if you would give your kids bread when they ask for it, you wouldn't give them a stone, would you? No, I wouldn't give my kids a rock. They're like, Dad, can I get bread? Here's a rock. He's like, what about if they ask for fish? Are you going to give them a snake? I'm not, because I don't like snakes. I don't like fish either. Jesus says, if that's what you're like, how much more God, the creator of this whole thing, whose design and purpose is that we would be the caretakers and we would have dominion over this whole thing as servants, as good servants, as his friends, that we would know his heart and we would serve this world in love. How much more won't he give you himself? He says, all you gotta do, just ask. Come draw near to me. Come ask. When was the last time you just drew near to the Lord and were like, hey, Dad, I don't want this anymore. Will you take this? Or, hey, Dad, I need some more fire on the flame. I need a little more spiritual hunger. Hey, Dad, I really like this spiritual gift that this person over here has. Would you give that to me? And he says, when you ask, do not doubt. That's what James said, because then you're double-minded. When you ask, believe in the character, in the goodness, in the love of God. I had 20 years worth of journals that the Lord told me to burn. I was like, really? Yes. Okay. I was burning them, and I was watching my words burn. And he's like, your words are going to burn. I was like, that's pretty cool. But also, Lord, like, I want to be more of a man of prayer. And I was reading some of my prayers, and I realized I prayed a lot of prayers in kind of like not really faith. It was more like just like, I'd like this, or, oh, be with this person. But it wasn't like, I believe you're the God who can liberate. I believe you're the one who can save. Do you know what I mean? It's like that faith sinking in where I really like buy it. No, you're good. And you want to give good things. You want to give the Holy Spirit. You want to give more of yourself. You want to fuel that fire. You want to walk with me. You want to talk with me. You want tongues of fire to come out of me. You want that more than I do, Lord. So now give me the faith. Let faith rise up in me. Reignite that flame. Reignite that passion. Right? You know what I'm saying? See, it's starting to get rolled up here. Here we go. I'm going to just close with this because, Jay, sorry about the time. I love this quote. This was by a guy named Meister Eckhart. He said, "The outward work, what we do, will never be puny if the inward work is great." If we allow the Lord to do something risky inside of us, if we risk it and we have faith. How many of you watch The Chosen? Anybody watch The Chosen? It's so good. I love reading the scripture, but something about seeing that, just like every episode, I'm just a wet mess. I just watched the one where the woman who needed healing, she had been bleeding for 12 years. You know this story? And she goes and she grabs Jesus, the hem of his robes. She grabs his prayer tassels. And they do such an awesome job. She's going toward him, and as she does, she begins to bleed. So she's unclean. And so she's not supposed to touch anybody. She's unclean. And in desperation, she makes this last-minute effort to go to him. She moves through everybody. Somebody sees her. She's like, "I just don't care anymore. I just need a touch from him." And she reaches out, and she grabs him. And she touches the hem of his garment. And immediately, what does it say? He felt the power leave him. And he turned and he said, "Who touched me?" And everyone's like, "Dude, you're in a giant crowd. Like, everybody's touching you." And he's like, "No, no, no, no. Somebody touched me." He experienced her faith in desperation. How many of you know that's a real thing? He experiences that. He feels that. He's stirred by that. He's moved by that. Heaven responds to that. All the prophets talk about this. You will find him when you seek him with all your heart. These guys wait 10 days, and we're still talking about it 2,000 years later. 10 days, we're still talking about it. You guys have a flame on your logo, wherever the logo is. There. You have a flame. You have like a floor that's on fire even. Kind of cool. 2,000 years later, because they waited for 10 days, because Jesus said, "Wait." And they said, "Okay." But it's kind of weird that we're just sitting here. What are we waiting for exactly? The gift. It's coming. Your gift is coming. Some of you waited a long time. Some of you have been waiting a long time. You have family, you got friends, you got this dream, you got this hope. I'm just telling you what he says. He says, ask, you receive. You got people in your life that you're just like, "Lord Jesus, would you touch them?" He's willing. My question is, are we? Are we willing to wait? Are we willing to cry out? Are we willing to sit with him in a state of humility? Are we willing to posture ourselves? Are we willing to talk about it when he answers us? Are we willing to do what Bob did and declare the wonders of his love? It's really cool. Verse 12, they said, "Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?'" They're like, "What do we do with this?" Now we get the rest of the book of Acts to figure out what they did with it. And so in a minute here, we're going to just pray, because I think you guys are a praying community. I'll pray. I'll just pray? Okay. I'm going to pray. And I also just want to highlight one last verse, verse 13. This is something the Lord has been challenging me to break out of in my life. Verse 13 says, "Some made fun of them and said they had too much wine." How many of you know your faith will cost you something? Reputation? Your faith will cost you something. Finances? it might cost a relationship. For them, it costs them, maybe they're like people thinking they were just good old Roman citizens. They made a, there was like a line in the sand where they were like, we'd rather have God than any of the other stuff from man. We'd rather yield to the Lord than to the wisdom of man. I've seen some hunger in Redlands recently, but not enough. I've seen some hunger in our churches, but not nearly enough. If I'm not that impressed, I'm just going to say how it came to my mind, okay? I'm not saying this is the word of the Lord, so forgive me if this is offensive. If I'm not impressed, I don't know that the Creator is either. I was telling this, we have a 21-year-old that lives with us. I was telling her a story last night about a guy. His name was Honi, the circle drawer. All his prayers got answered. He would draw a circle, and he wouldn't leave until the Lord answered his prayer. That's some faith. That's some resilience. That's some determination. That's a man who's yielded to his father, who knows that his dad's going to answer. I know you'll answer me, because that's who you are, because you're good, because you can. But I'm yielded. I'm waiting. I'm not going to move until you move me. I'm not going to go until you fill me. I'm not going to go until the fire falls. Are you with me? So where do you need that fire this morning? Where do you need that fire this morning? Where do you need hope? Where do you need renewal? Where do you need a touch from the Lord? Maybe it's for you. Maybe it's for a family member. I know for me, there's some things I really want to see. So Lord Jesus, we come. We do believe. I'm all about that prayer, Lord. I believe, but help my unbelief. Just talking with the boys beforehand, the day boys, about even being a part of a Christian community. And yeah, just my whole story, man, of walking through that, Lord, and wanting to see more, wanting to see something real. But God, we need your manifest presence among us. We're imperfect. We don't know how to we don't know the formula other than just surrendered hearts, yielded hearts, obedient hearts. Oh, Jesus, I pray that you would search us, that you would know our hearts, that you would find a posture of surrender here among us this morning. Lord, we just surrender. We want to be like those early disciples who just surrendered to you. Or we want that fire. We want that fresh fire. Would you bless us today, Lord? Bless us with your presence. Bless us with more of you. Bless us with a fire that's contagious. Bless us with the presence that empowers us to witness to your goodness and your mercy and your love. That you're a God who doesn't give up on us. You pursue us relentlessly. You keep coming, and you keep coming, and you keep coming, and you invite us into this surrender. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. Forgive us for turning our back on you. Forgive us for, like those friends of ours in Brazil who just were kind of not paying attention when you were trying to get their attention. We just quietly yield to you this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name.
You are listening to the official podcast of The Mission Redlands. For more information, visit us at themissionredlands.com.